Thanks for joining us for today's Word of Hope from First Christian Church in Burlington, Iowa. In this broadcast, you will hear songs and hymns of praise, a children's moment from our youth pastor, Justin Livingston, the pastoral prayer for the day from our associate pastor, Brooke Anthony, and a message from me, senior pastor, Dave Yonker, that I hope will fill your spirit and give you hope. You are always welcome to join us for worship in our sanctuary on Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 10 a.m. and in our parking lot for our drive-in service at 11:30 a.m. here at 1221 Park Avenue in Burlington. For more information, check us out at burlingtondoc.org. You are invited to grow in faith and share God's love through First Christian Church in Burlington. Oh, Jesus, good morning. Happy Easter to you all. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. It's great to have you all with us here at First Christian Church. I'm Dave Yonker. I'm a senior pastor here. It's my pleasure to welcome you all into our family of faith this morning. We're glad that you are here inside of our sanctuary. We welcome our friends who are joining us virtually, either on Facebook Live or through our church website. It is a great Easter Sunday morning to be together as worship, and so we hope that worship together here at First Christian Church will fill your spirit and renew all of our souls together in worship. As we gather for worship today, we welcome you if this is your first time with us and you are our guest. A little note about our worship service. For our friends who are joining us virtually online, we have communion every single time that we have worship together. And so we invite you to have ready there at your house the elements of communion that you will need. If it's bread and juice and grapes and crackers and coffee and soda, whatever you have is good, as we'll celebrate communion later on in our worship service together. For those of us inside of our sanctuary, we hope that you picked up on the way in one of our little all-in-one communion kits. We'll need those for communion later on in the midst of our service as well. Also, inside of our sanctuary, on the right-hand side of your bulletin, you'll find a little tear-off sheet. So we invite you to take that out now and tear it off and fill it out. We hope that you will let us know that you were here with us today. On the back side, you can tick one of those boxes if you'd like to know more information about getting involved in the life and ministry of our congregation. You can also jot down prayer concerns or praises that you may have in your life. And if you did not bring a pen with you, there are pens located outside the sanctuary on either side of the Welcome Center by the little offering plates there. And so after you fill it out, you can actually drop your tear-off sheet there in the offering plate as you leave the sanctuary after worship today. One more note about worship for those of us here inside of our sanctuary. We are invited to make a joyful noise to the Lord with our amazing band. But we are invited to sing our song softly so as we don't share our singing droplets with each other. And so it is good to be together here inside the sanctuary and with our friends who are joining us online. On the very back of your bulletin, you see some things that are happening in the life of our church. We're looking forward to our church blood drive tomorrow afternoon. We're so thankful for the Dillons for helping us getting that organized. And so if you signed up, we look forward to seeing you at your slot tomorrow afternoon. You also see in the bulletin that Pastor Brooke and I are starting a new class that's going to be studying the Bible kind of from the very front into the very back. And so we're going to kind of break it up in some small little chunks. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, certainly reach out to us and let us know. We are putting dates and times all together, but it'll be starting here in the next few weeks. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, reach out to us and we would love to have you. You also see in your bulletin that we're collecting our special Easter offering, which is our over and above, beyond our just kind of church here at First Christian Church Burlington, kind of our kind of wider denomination offering. It supports pastors and chaplains and teachers and colleges and universities and starting new congregations and helping our denomination as a whole share the good news of Jesus Christ. And so if you'd like to make a gift to that, you can do so here today and also next Sunday as well. It's a very exciting day, not only because it's Easter, but today just happens to be Pastor Justin Livingston's birthday. And so he is so excited that we're going to sing happy birthday to him right now. And so won't you join me in singing? Happy birthday to you. 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 Happy birthday All right, yes. Talk about making a joyful noise to the Lord. That's it right there. All right. We can now stand and say good morning to the friends around us. You can wave hello to the folks who are online with a camera right over my head.
Jesus Messiah.
Shall we pray? Holy and living God, like a tomb's darkness that gives way to light, open us up this day to newness of life. Open us up to your love, to your acceptance, to your forgiveness, to your peace. Open us up to one another and to the possibilities you have in store for us. Give us hope for the future and a passion for life here and now. We pray in the name of the one who destroyed death, Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. You may find your seats, and as you're doing so, the kids of the church can join me this morning for our children's moment.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
All right, well, good morning. How are you this morning? All right, so good to hear that. Happy Easter to you all. Did you guys get a visitor last night? Did the Easter Bunny find you guys all? Yeah, did you guys get stuff in your Easter baskets? How many of you guys got candy in it? Anybody get candy in their Easter basket? Yeah, candy is the best, isn't it? I think Easter is probably my favorite holiday for candy. I think it's got the best candy. Do you guys, what's your favorite candy to get in your Easter basket on Easter? Anybody? Jaden? Jelly beans. Good one. Chocolate. Just any chocolate? All chocolate? Starburst. Peeps. Oh, yeah. Peeps. Anything that's sour. All right. Very good. I think my favorite is the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup eggs and the Cadbury Cream eggs. Those are my two favorite. But I'm so glad one of you, at least, Jaden, likes jelly beans. How do you, the rest of you guys feel about jelly beans? Everyone like jelly beans? Kinda. Some of the flavors are good, right? Well, this morning I brought you guys each a bag of jelly beans. And these jelly beans are going to help remind us about what Easter is all about and about all the beautiful things God has provided for us, okay? So here they are. And I want you guys to go ahead and grab one and don't open it. You can just hold it there in your hands. All right, and as you look at your bags, you can see that there are 8 different jelly beans in there, and all the jelly beans are different colors and different flavors, right? And so there's also a piece of paper in there, and I want you guys to kind of look at that piece of paper through the baggie, and we're going to talk about the different flavors and different colors and what each one represents and how they kind of tie in with Easter, okay? So as I read through them and I announce the color, would you just put your finger on each color as I talk about them, okay? Okay? So the first one is what?
Red,
right? So find your red jelly bean. Find your red jelly bean. And the red one stands, it says, red is for the blood that Jesus gave. The blood that Jesus poured out on the cross for us. All right, what's the next color? Green. All right, find the green one. Green. Green is for the grass he made. And right now, everybody's lawns are turning green right now, and soon all the trees will be full of beautiful green leaves. All right, the third one is
yellow.
Find the yellow one. Yellow is for the sun, so bright. And right now, God bless us with a very beautiful Easter morning, didn't he? Right? All right, next one. Orange. Orange is for the edge of night. And God has blessed us with so many beautiful sunsets here in Iowa, right? Yeah. All right, what's next? Black. Find the black one. The black one says this. Black is for the sins we make. So those times we make mistakes and don't do what we're supposed to do. That's what that's talking about. And the next one's white, right? White is for the grace he gave. So God forgives us of all those mistakes that we make because of what he did on the cross for us. All right, what's the next one?
Purple.
Purple is for the hours of sorrow. And finally, the last one is what?
Pink.
Pink is for our new tomorrow. So we can think about all, because Jesus went to the cross for us, we all can spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. All right, so it worked out first service, so why don't we all read this together, okay? Let's put it all together and read together. All right, will you read it with me? All right, here we go. Red is for the blood he gave. Green is for the grass he made. Yellow is for his sun so bright. Orange is for the edge of night. Black is for the sins we made. White is for grace he gave. Purple is for his hours of sorrow. Pink is for our new tomorrow. And then at the bottom, there's a little note that says, may every day be Easter in your heart. May the joy you feel on Easter morning be the joy of each day of your life. So not just today on Easter, but every day, let's remember what Jesus did for us on the cross and all the wonderful and beautiful things God blessed us in our lives. Okay? You guys have a great and happy rest of your Easter day. Let's pray. You guys can take those to your pew with them. I use gloves when I put them in the bag so you can eat them. And as you eat them, you can read what each color reminds us of as well. All right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the excitement of Easter morning, seeing our baskets filled with wonderful treats and goodies. May these jelly beans remind us of what you did on the cross and what your son's resurrection means for all our lives. Thank you for sending Jesus to save us. And all God's kids shout it out.
As we join in worship together today, we join in prayer. We bring with us the stresses of the weeks, our joys, our celebration, and our concerns. And so let us go before God in prayer together. O God of the resurrection and new life, we are overwhelmed with joy as we gather in your house today. We may gather virtually or even in our cars, but no matter the space in which we find ourselves physically, we know that we are together spiritually in your house. Thank you for the gift of worship this morning, for the gifts of sunshine and Easter lilies, of treats and laughter. But most of all, we give you thanks for the gift of your son's resurrection. We have traveled through Lent with our eye toward this day, but also needing to feel the loss, the emptiness, and the weight of the responsibility that has filled this season. We give thanks for even those feelings, the hardship of Lent and the grief of Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, for it is through these experiences and remembrances that we can fully realize the gift that was his resurrection. In the face of death and defeat, your son defied the law of humanity. He rose again. He defeated the forces of death and destruction to prove that he was who he said he was. We give thanks for those early disciples, the faithful women who cared for Jesus and witnessed this miracle, who believed and had faith. We pray that as we bask in the glory of his appearance on this Easter morn, we would be changed again and again. We pray that this story would never grow old or mundane, but remain alive and transformational each time we hear of it. May we live into the lives that we are called to live, and may we model the service and love for all that Christ showed throughout his life. May people truly know that we are Christians by our love for humanity, our love for your creation, our love for ourselves, and our love for you. Even as this day brings overflowing joy and thanksgiving, we know that the facts of life still stand. We still have sickness among us. We still have hopelessness among us. We still have hardship and pain and suffering, even on a day as celebratory as this. We lift up our brothers and sisters who are in need today. We pray for those who need food and nourishment. May they be filled today. We pray for those who need healing and strength. May they persevere and push through and continue to make progress. We pray for those who wait, whether waiting on test results, waiting for a needed check to come in the mail, waiting for a phone call that their hearts beg to hear. We pray that you would be their companion as they wait. We pray that your blessings would be shared among all who need it, and may they give praise and thanks to you. On this holy day, we give thanks that our God walked among us in human form. We give thanks that our God was not to be defeated by those completely focused on taking him down. We give thanks that his dignity was never defeated, that he stayed above all the political motivations for his trial and death, and proved himself to his God. We give thanks that he did all of this for all of your children, God, each and every one of us. We pray in his precious name, lifting our voices together to pray the prayer that he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Today we open up God's word to the book of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
One day this past week, I was at Aspen Grove Cemetery here in town. We were there having a graveside service, a celebration of life, laying to rest some wonderful people from our church family. And if you were here in Burlington this past week, then you know that there were some days where the wind seemed to be blowing 25, 35 miles an hour, sustained all day long. And if you've been to Aspen Grove Cemetery, you know that even though there are trees surrounding the outside of the cemetery, it is still open and you are exposed to all the elements. If you are there for a graveside service in the middle of winter, it seems like it's the coldest place on earth. And even on the hottest days, like here, like it is in Iowa, even like the middle of August, it is still breezy. It's still almost cool there on the hottest of days. And so we were there to remember our loved ones from our church family, and And as they often do, the cemetery had set up for us a little tent. And so we all kind of tucked there underneath the tent to kind of block ourselves from the force of the wind that day. But as we were standing around, getting ready to read the scriptures and offer the prayers and be there to pay our last respects, I noticed just to the east of us, just down a few headstones, were some other headstones where it was obvious that they had recently had a grade five service. There in that place, the grass had been disturbed. The casket had obviously, of course, been laid in the ground, and all the dirt had been covered back up. But it was obvious that it had been recent because the grass hadn't had time to grow back into that space again. So there was still a layer of dirt that was exposed right in front of the headstone. And so standing there in that holy space here in town at Aspen Grove Cemetery, I just imagined the family of that loved one coming back to that space at the cemetery after all of their family had gone home. I mean, surely they were like us, and even through these pandemic days, they had gathered together to remember their loved one. They had had food, they had celebration, they had told wonderful stories of their loved one who was no longer here, but had found a home with God up in heaven. And so I imagine that long after their loved one had gone, and long after all the family had left, the widow or the widower or whoever was left would come early in the morning. We can imagine them coming with the very first light of day, being in the silence, being there with just the breeze, being there with the deer who are hanging out always at the cemetery, being there, taking it all in, remembering. The scriptures today says that it starts out just like this on Easter. The story says that the women go to the tomb early in the morning. The story says the sun has just come up, and we can imagine like that on that Easter morning, it was just like it was here today. It was cool, it was crisp, it was going to be a glorious day with the sun shining down. The old hymns of our faith says that whenever the women go to the tomb, the dew is still there on the roses, and they've gone to pay their respects. And so they go in the silence and the quiet, expecting to sit and pray and remember their friend Jesus, who's now gone. For 3 days he's been gone. They expect the tomb to be closed and the stone still rolled in front. But of course, we've heard the story. We know what this day is all about. They find something that they did not expect. Through the darkness, through the shadows of the light, they kind of make their way there, and they realize that the stone has been rolled away, and they can see that angel sitting there dressed in white on the right-hand side, and we can imagine them kind of rubbing their eyes, these women, trying to adjust to that first light of day when they hear the good news. The very first Easter morning proclaimed, "He is not here. He is risen. Look," the angel says, "look where he used to be. He's not here anymore. Go and tell somebody. Go and tell the good news. Go and tell the disciples. Go and tell Peter. Go and tell everyone that he is not here anymore, that Christ is risen. He's risen indeed." Of all the stories that we have in our faith, this story is the most important. In fact, as the wonderful pastor and preacher, the Reverend Barbara Brown Taylor, once said, that in the presence of the risen Christ, there is no wreckage so total that God can't redeem it. There is no cause so lost that God cannot breathe new life into it. Here these women come to the tomb like we go to the cemetery to pay respects to our loved ones, and they realize that Christ is risen. That when they thought that all hope was lost, when they thought they had exhausted all the options, and that God would have forsaken them forever, God still made a way. And that even though through the cross, this worst way in the world to die, that they thought it was too far gone, God could take something like the cross and give it new life. That in our lives, when we think that this is all there is, these troubles that we have, all the stresses, all the hard times, that we think that this must be the end of our days, God is never done working. The power of God is always moving. The presence of God never leaves or forsakes us. See, this is a good news and a good reminder for us that as we've come through this awful pandemic and this plague with a light at the end of the tunnel, the empty tomb reminds us that God is still moving, that this is not all there is, that we say it until we are out of breath, that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed here in our midst. We can imagine what it was like being there at the tomb with those women, hearing the good news proclaimed that Christ is risen. Now, the great thing about this story, in fact, to be honest, the funny thing about the story that we just heard, is that in the way that Mark tells the resurrection, once the women go to the tomb and they hear the message that Jesus is not there anymore, they run away. In fact, the gospel says that they went out and they fled from the tomb because terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Not knowing what in the world had just happened, they ran away. And who could blame them, right? I mean, they just dropped everything and ran. I mean, we know what that is like. We know what it's like to stumble into the kitchen in the middle of the night because our stomach is growling and we're looking for some leftover pizza or like a piece of toast or something, some kind of soda. And so we kind of stumble through the dark there to the kitchen to find the refrigerator. And the only light that is on is like the glow coming from the microwave. And so we stumble into anything and everything that we have there in the kitchen. And so if we'd be walking through the darkness, longing for the light, trying to find the refrigerator to kind of satisfy our stomach, rubbing our eyes, what would we do if on the right-hand side was an angel dressed in white sitting at our kitchen table? We too may run away. We may be like those women running away with terror and amazement. And I'm sure like those women, we wouldn't say anything to anybody. We would kind of break that news gently. Dear, we got a problem in the kitchen at about 12:30 at night. You're never going to believe it. It's like that in the way that Mark tells the resurrection story. The women run away and Mark leaves us hanging. Of course, we know about other resurrection stories that show up later on in Mark and in all the other Gospels. We hear about Jesus walking down the road to Emmaus, and suddenly he appears with those disciples who are beaten down with sorrow and sadness. Suddenly the resurrected Jesus is there in their midst. We hear about Jesus showing up at dinner with the disciples who are trying to pick up with like the rest of their life. And suddenly Jesus is there, and then suddenly he's gone. This resurrected Jesus can like pass through walls and like appears and disappears all in the blink of an eye. And there's even this great story at the end of the Gospel of John, where after the resurrection, the disciples aren't quite sure what to do with the rest of their life. I mean, Jesus is gone, they're convinced, and like he's never ever coming back. And so what do? They go back to what they used to do. They go back to fishing all over again. But the gospel says one morning, as they've been out fishing all night long, as they were rowing their boat back to shore, who do they find but Jesus standing at this charcoal fire making breakfast, and he says, "Come to eat." What a scene that must have been. I mean, what an invitation. Of course I'm going to eat. Jesus is saying, come and eat. I'm going to eat until I can't eat anymore. But here is Jesus after the resurrection making breakfast. We hear in the Bible all these amazing stories of Jesus after the tomb is empty, but the way that the gospel writer Mark tells it is that he leaves us hanging. The women run away like they've seen a ghost. I mean, they've seen an angel and they don't know what to do. It's like the end of those 1980s classic movies, like if you can remember that far, which was like 40-something years ago, back to the 1980s, if you can remember back to the very end of Back to the Future 1 and Back to the Future 2, when both of those 1980s movie ends, they all end with to be continued, right? To be continued, that there is more movie to come. You have to pay your money again to come back to the theater. There is more to come to tell the end of the story. It's like at the end of Mark's gospel, it is a to be continued. The tomb is empty. Christ is risen. To be continued moment again. And he leaves it this way on purpose. He leaves us hanging on purpose because he leaves it this way so that we can tell the rest of the story. We get to be the evangelists. We get to tell the good news and keep on telling others that Christ is risen and risen indeed. We get to say that the power of the resurrection isn't just that it happened years ago. It's that it happens all around us all the time because God isn't finished with us yet. His love keeps on moving and he keeps on overcoming death with new life. God is not finished with this world and with us yet. It's like the lyrics to that old-time church camp song. The old song, "Have You Seen Jesus My Lord?" The lyrics are so great. They say, "Have you seen Jesus My Lord? He's here in plain view. Just take a look and open your eyes and he'll show it to you." It says, "Have you ever stood at the cross with a man hanging there in pain and seen the look of love written on his eyes, then you have seen our Lord Jesus." It even says, "Have you ever stood within a family, within family and friends, and felt the Lord there in your midst and seen the face of Christ on your sister and brother, then you have seen Jesus our Lord." This old church camp song reminds us that the resurrection happens still today, anytime new life springs up all around us. It springs up as our church comes back into life, having been separated and been virtual for such a long time, that it happens here on Easter's like this. It happens whenever families begin to gather after stopping for a while through this pandemic. It happens whenever we see new buds on the trees in our yards at home and the grass has turned green again. Resurrection happens whenever Christ shows up and we feel new life teeming within us. We see the power of the resurrection happening all around us. It fills us and envelops us and carries us forward and calls us to go tell the good news that Christ is risen, not just back in the day, but Christ is risen here on this day, on this Easter, and on tomorrow and Tuesday, and every other day that we go. That Christ is risen indeed. All we have to do is take the time to notice. We have to have the eyes to notice and see and to keep on saying, if only to remind ourselves that Christ is risen. He's risen indeed, and he is here in our midst. Thanks be to God. Amen.